The Lord takes all the enmity that Adam and Eve had accomplished by their disobedience to God's command and by their eating of the fruit. The Lord takes all that enmity and he says, no longer is it between us. Now it's between me and the devil and between you and the devil.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller speaking at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And here's the point. The Lord did not bring an end to the war, not yet, but the Lord says now, I'm going to war, not against you, but for you, to deliver you and to make peace.
You can watch and listen to Pastor Wolfmiller's presentation, Making the Case for Christian Peace, and all of the teachings from this year's conference for a tax-deductible donation of $300 by Labor Day. It's available via on-demand video streaming or podcast. Learn more at issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385.
They're gonna come back. You ready? We got some work to do.
Not it.
Nope.
I'll get him out.
And I'll get the shot.
Let's go, baby! Let's go!
I need y'all to tell me.
What did you see in that cloud?
Well, it's not what you think. They took him. They took him all.
I've got to get out of this house.
I'm trying to save you.
My brother is out there.
I don't think they take you. If you don't look at him.
Look, don't look.
This dream you're chasing, where you end up at the top of the mountain. It's the one you never wake up from.
That's the trailer for the movie Nope. It is a horror movie. I'm a big fan of horror movies, and this one has me intrigued. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. In the first hour, Pastor Ted Geese will review the movie Nope with us, and then we'll talk about student academic success and family structure with Dr. Brad Wilcox, professor of sociology and director of the National Marriage Project at the University of Virginia. Then we'll wrap up this week's programming. Looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, talking with Pastor David Peterson about Jesus weeping over Jerusalem in Luke chapter 19. Joining us to review the movie Nope, Pastor Ted Geese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Why the one-word title, Nope?
Well, it's kind of catchy. It's interesting. The audience really has interaction with it. I found when we went to the theater and paid to get our tickets to go in the old-fashioned way, the lady behind the counter, you know, I said, I'll take two tickets for Nope. And she said, Nope. Kind of like a joke. She was pretty amused with herself. It was kind of funny. And then in the actual film, watching it, there were like these moments of extreme tension when we heard somebody behind us in the theater literally saying, nope, 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 nope. So that's kind of part of the whole thing. And then I guess also there was a big trailer that was part of the Super Bowl, I guess, commercials. And people started to think that it meant something, like it was an acronym. So Nope, not of planet Earth. So there's this sense in which there's something alien going on here, and it's kind of gets into that kind of creature feature sort of territory of things. So that's all kind of wrapped up in it. But I think that there's another kind of element of it too. And this is because this is a Jordan Peele film. It's his third film. He did the movie Get Out in 2017, and then he did a movie called Us in 2019, and now he's made this film, Nope. And they're all kind of horror genre kind of films. But he got his start on a show called Mad TV, or at least that's where I first kind of saw him and where he was getting kind of like the first bit of his own work kind of getting going, where he was doing comedic sketch comedy. And that was back 2003 through 2008. And because he's a comedian, there's this kind of famous comedy sketch that, or not sketch, but like an actual comedy TV special, I guess, that Eddie Murphy did called Delirious back in the early 80s. And in that, he has this whole thing about the difference between black families and white families and haunted houses. So he talks about Poltergeist and Amityville Horror and things like that. And he's got this kind of, well, the ghost says, get out. And the black family gets out. You know, it's the white family that sits around and wants to, like, do whatever X, Y, and Z. So this kind of idea that, you know, like, the black character in a horror film, he doesn't have time for, like, if it was a real black person in a kind of a situation like that, they don't have time for this kind of stuff. They're like, nope, 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 let's get out of here. And that's also kind of part of kind of the background to the idea behind this film, because he's like, the main characters of the film are all black actors, and there's an element of all of that in all of his films as well. So, like, bringing that experience to the films, because, like, historically, there's lots of horror films in which if there's a black character, they're the first one to die. And that's kind of a trope thing that guys like Jordan Peele now are kind of trying to break that and bring a kind of a different voice to some of these films.
So I find this intriguing, because all of those films that you mentioned from Jordan Peele, I believe he wrote all those too, didn't he?
Yeah, he's the director and writer of all of these films. So he wrote this one too. So basically everything that you see on the screen, that's there because he wants it there. It's not even because somebody wrote the script, he liked the script, and he takes it and makes the movie, and the studio has a say in this and that and the other thing. And the studio still does have a say in this, that, and the other thing. But he's really an auteur in that way, that he's the guy who's got the idea, he's the guy that writes the script, he's the guy that makes the film. So, you know, he's come short of, you know, he's not doing kind of the Woody Allen thing where he's then also the lead character in the film, but he's really bringing a lot of himself to what you are watching, which then invites the audience to think about his experience in Hollywood, let's say, as a actor and now producer, director kind of a guy. And he has an interest in this kind of stuff because he was also involved in a kind of a reboot or an attempt to restart The Twilight Zone. I think he did a kind of like an answer to that Black Mirror show. You know, they wanted to reboot The Twilight Zone and he was brought in to do that. So he's kind of in this area and he's got his own experiences as a black actor in Hollywood.
So he's a very funny guy. You can find him all over the internet doing sketch comedy and things like that. Mm. And it's always got a twist to it. Is that why this comedian can make such kind of off-center horror films, not typical horror films in any stretch of the imagination?
Yeah, I think that's probably part of what he's able to do and why he's able to do it. Another thing that's interesting, like, lots of films have, I guess recently, people will look at Marvel movies, let's say, and there's lots of humor that's scattered through the films. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't work. It's sometimes it's there and it disrupts the tension or whatever purposefully. Sometimes it does it in a kind of ham-fisted way. There is humor in this film and it's peppered in there, but it all lands the way it should. It's not, there are moments that are funny and you should expect that maybe from somebody who can write a comedy or can write sketch comedy and is a comedian, but it's more sophisticated in the way that it's presented. I mean, he's good at this, so he does a good job at it. But then the other thing is that comedy kind of comes right up usually to the edge of acceptability and tippy toes across the line here and there and is pushing people's buttons. And that's a lot of what happens in horror films, trying to get in underneath people's fears and apprehensions and their anxieties and push those buttons to get a reaction out of the audience. So there's something that comedy and horror kind of have in common, or they share this kind of DNA in the way that you could approach things.
So we should say, spoiler alert to anybody who has not seen the film or planning on seeing the film.
Including you, because you have not seen this yet.
Yeah, right? But I'm getting paid to do this.
Oh,
so
yeah, I know.
I don't mind spoilers.
All right.
Too bad. Let's talk about how it begins with a quotation from Nahum chapter 3.
Yeah, now this is, okay, so full disclosure. So I go to this movie and, like, I've arranged to go see it. There's another brother pastor in town here and his wife and my wife, and we all, the four of us go. We're a little tardy getting there, and he's already got seats for us, and we purchase our tickets. We go in, sit down, and he says, okay, so this is what happens. There's a thing with a monkey, and then there's, like, they're on horseback. there's a separate thing where they're on horseback and then there's like stuff falls out of the sky and kills a guy. I'm like, okay. And then, you know, the credits come up and they kind of have like old fashioned credits in the film where you see everybody's name and everything. And there's this kind of abstracty thing going on the screen. But the thing that he didn't mention was the Bible verse. So I'm online the other day and I'm like, somebody says something about a Bible verse. And I was like, a Bible verse? I didn't remember a Bible verse from that movie. So I then go back and look up this Bible verse. So, you know, be on time, especially for a Jordan Peele movie. Lots of movies, the first frames of the film are actually really important. If you think of that movie Magnolia, the beginning sequence is very important for the whole rest of the film. So being late, I mean, I know that there's trailers and everything, like you can kind of miss some of that stuff, but when the movie actually starts, be there on time.
Citizen Kane, you don't want to miss them.
Yeah, you might be off track if you do. So the Bible passage, Nahum 3, verse 6, I will cast abominable filth upon you, make you vile, and make you a spectacle. If I had seen that at the beginning, I might have had I would have been on a different track thinking through the whole entire film. And now, of course, I do want to see the film again because it is one of these puzzle box films. It does unravel in a particular way. You do get more information as you go, but it's neat and tidy. There are definitely things that happen. There's kind of a really tense scene that turns out later to kind of be a throwaway scene because it's not really the thing that you expect. It's not what it presents itself to be. Very high tension scene. But there's an explanation for why it's there. Like at the time, nothing makes any sense, but there is an explanation for why it's there. This is one of those things that's like an explanation as to why everything is going on. And it brings in this word that pops up over and over again, and Jordan Peele talks about it in his interviews, is the word spectacle. And he kind of went big with this. Like Get Out is a relatively small film. Us is a little bit of bigger film, but this is like, it's shot in IMAX and can be watched on an IMAX screen. And it's got this alien related stuff in it. So he's going really, really big. And this, of course, is something that he wrote and developed and was starting to shoot during the pandemic. So he wanted to make something huge for the movie theater, for people as they came back into watching films at the theater. I don't think that this is going to go over as well if you're watching it on your smartphone. So, dear listener, if you have a habit of watching something like this on a smartphone, maybe try to find a way. It's not streaming anywhere yet, but maybe try to find a way to go see it in the theater, because it's going to have a bit of a different impact, obviously, with the gigantic screen. So that this kind of spectacle thing, and it shows up, that word shows up, peppered through the whole film as well. But I will cast abominable filth upon you, make you vile, and make you a spectacle. And that's all part of a section in Nahum, which is about God's judgment on Nineveh. So people think of Nineveh, they might think of Jonah. And Jonah, I think, happens like roughly about 100 years or something before Nahum. Am I right about that? I think it's not just like a generation after the book of Jonah. Like the book of Jonah, Jonah shows up and he preaches repentance to them, gives a prophecy of destruction, God relents, and the Assyrians in Nineveh kind of turn away from what they were doing towards God. But now, like about 100 years later, they're back to the worst of the worst of their stuff, and this is a prophecy against Nineveh. And it's kind of in that same section of it where it's got like real stuff that then shows up again kind of in the book of Revelation. So it's about judgment. And then the question is, when you're watching this film then, now thinking about this Bible verse related to the film, who's being judged? That is a question mark that kind of like floats to the surface. Who's receiving this judgment? Who is this a prophecy, foreboding warning to? So like this is something that I think is very interesting about this film.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Nope. We'll talk about the monkey that he mentioned there on the other side of the break. Pastor Geese teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Is dressing up to be there too.
Just like we always do. Saturday night and the moon is, who cares?
just what picture you see.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Hear us who might deceive us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It's August, and time to look forward to the academic year. Ad Crucem has just what you need to beautify your classroom, at home or school. We've crafted a series of posters to put what we believe, teach, and confess on display. See our Ten Commandments, Lord's Prayer, Luther's Daily Prayers, Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, Athanasian Creed, Liturgical Calendar, and much more. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's Fables and classic children's literature, math, and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday, August the 19th, we're reviewing the movie Nope with Pastor Ted Geese. So, Ted, you had mentioned a monkey. We're going to get a little bit into the plot. What is the backstory that Peel provides his viewers?
Oh, yeah. So this monkey is, listen, this is maybe one of the more distressing parts about the film. There's a lot to kind of digest as you're watching a movie like this. So essentially, you've watched the Walking Dead, right?
Yes,
that's a show that you've watched a little bit. So there's this guy on the Walking Dead, Glenn from the Walking Dead.
Yes,
you know this. So this is Steven Yeun, I think his name is. He's a South Korean actor. He's in this film, and he plays a character named Ricky Jupe Park. This is the name of the character in the film. And he's a child actor who's now kind of riding on the coattails of his past success. And he has this amusement park called Jupiter's Claim, because there was this show that he was involved in where it was like cowboys and whatever. So this is in California, and it's like this kind of ranch kind of a setting. And he's got this little amusement park. But there was another show that this character of Jupe was on when he was younger, and that is a show called Gordy's Home. And Gordy's Home is this like late 80s, early 90s sitcom about a chimp that lives with his family. And there's this incident where, like, and he's like the buddy, like they're buddies, they're like little pals kind of a thing. And they have this little thing where they do a little fist bump, like the chimpanzee and him, sort of a deal. But what happens is that on this show, they're taping an episode of this show, and it was in its second season, and there's an accident that happens, some balloons pop, the chimpanzee named Gordy loses it and attacks everybody. And this is a really distressing thing. So you get a sliver of that at the very beginning of the film, and then it kind of gets returned to over and over again through the course of the movie, and it's weaves its way in and out of the rest of the story. Now, Jordan Peele even set up, like, separate from the movie, there was the entire fake opening sequence of this fake TV sitcom And it's got the theme music is a song called You're a Strange Animal from 1985 by this Canadian musician named Gowan. And there's kind of like layers on layers and layers in here. So essentially, there's this kind of relationship between the way that the monkey is used in, like the chimpanzee is used in the show, kind of connected to the way actors are used in TV shows and movies, and also kind of connected to your relationship as a viewer watching all of these things and what you want to see and what you don't want to see is all kind of tied up in this. And he's this character that has experienced kind of a bad miracle because he survived the whole thing, but he's traumatized by it. And there's this moment where there's this shoe that's just sitting up on its end in a way that shouldn't happen. It's like, it's very bizarre. And that's kind of just in there as a peculiar thing. So he is a character. His ranch with the amusement park thing is next to the main character's ranch. They also have a ranch. And that's the character of Otis Jr., OJ, played by Daniel Kaluuya, and his sister Emerald, played by Kiki Palmer. And they have something called the Haywood Hollywood Horses. I think that's what it was called. And it's basically a horse wrangling company to include animals in TV shows and movies and commercials and things. So there's this kind of moment at the beginning where the horse is on a set of a commercial, and this is what their family does. They have a ranch, and they got these horses, and they use them in this way. So that's part of it. Now, the one thing with the monkey, too, like the chimpanzee thing that is so bizarre and distressing about all of it is that this kind of taps on something that the audience might remember from real life. So there was a lady named Carla Nash who had her face ripped off by a commercial animal actor named Travis. And he was a chimpanzee, like a 200-pound chimpanzee, and he was owned by and managed by a friend of hers. And she was on this TV show, like she was on Oprah Winfrey being interviewed back in 2009. And when she was on there, she had, at one point, she had this hat with this veil covering her face because she required such extensive facial reconstruction after the event took place. So in the film and in the trailer of the film, this doesn't give anything away, but people who've watched the film will see that there's a lady with a hat with a veil over her face, and the wind flips it up, and you see like that her face is disfigured. And what you find in the film is that it's been disfigured by this Gordy the chimpanzee. And there's this sense where the animal things around, you know, Hollywood, they're dangerous. And even if you think you have something trained, is it really trained? And that's all kind of part of this film as well. Because eventually the thing that they're dealing with, there's a thought, well, could we train it so that we can get money out of it? This is another element of this film.
Why did you want to mention Sally Garner at a gallop?
Yeah, so, okay, so another thing that's at the very beginning of this film is a super old bit of filmmaking, and it's an animated series of photographs by Edward Muybridge. And it's of a black jockey riding a horse. And it's sometimes it's called The Horse in Motion. Sometimes it's called Sally Gardner at a Gallop. And that's from 1878. So this is like right at the beginning of filmmaking. And it's kind of a portion of the film because the characters of the Haywoods, fictionally, they have a lineage back to that rider on the horse. And the idea is that, or the way they present it, and it's kind of true to life really, is that nobody remembers who the rider is. So Sally Gardner is the name of the horse, and people know the photographer, Edward Muybridge, but they don't remember who the rider was. And the rider was basically your first movie star, if you want to categorize it in that way. So there's a sense in which the viewers, the people who are like consuming all of this media, don't really take into account the people that are on the screen in front of them. So that's kind of part of the story. And it also bookends things because, of course, the central character of OJ, played by Daniel Kaluuya, is essentially a black man on a horse being filmed at the end of the film, and this is like a bookending the whole entire movie. So that's a very important piece of the general puzzle. And Jordan Peele is super aware of all this, because there's a point at which in the film a guy shows up from TMZ riding a motorcycle, and he is listed in the IMDb credits as, I think, Ryder Mybridge is the character's name. So again, Edward Mybridge is the name of the guy who did the actual photography that was, you put them all together and you make a film back in 1878. And he then has this guy. And this guy later that shows up on the TMZ reporter on the back of the motorcycle is wearing a helmet. And I don't think you ever see his face. So in a way, Jordan Peele is like, that guy's not important. He's trying to, you know, say something about this whole thing, or at least to kind of even the playing field, as it were, in the grand narrative of everything. And he's doing it in kind of a thoughtful, interesting kind of way.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. The movie Nope is our topic. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Ad Crucem has produced beautiful icons on Christ the Bridegroom, The Last Supper, The Crucifixion, and more. Browse before you buy at adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com. When we come back, we're going to get more into the plot of Nope. Family devotions can oftentimes become more difficult during the school year. Concordia Publishing House has produced a new family-friendly resource called The Tree of Life. It contains 10 weeks of devotional content on 10 major biblical accounts. Find out more about The Tree of Life at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Tree of Life Family Activity Kit, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. 1-800-325-3040.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Trinity Lutheran Church, LCMS, of Tryon, North Carolina, also serves the South Carolina upstate. We uphold the confessional standard of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. We follow the apostolic practice of celebrating the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day using a biblical historic liturgy. Our small parish is teeming with little ones, along with many of retirement age. Several Issues Etc. listeners have been welcomed into Christ's fold here from outside Lutheranism. We invite any unchurched in the area to join us at 10:15 each Sunday.
Concordia University Chicago invites all high school students to attend the annual Careers for Christ weekend in person on our beautiful campus in River Forest. Careers for Christ is October 28th to 30th. You'll have the opportunity to learn about professional church vocations while having fun with CUC staff, faculty, and students. For more information, visit cuchicago.edu/c4c. cuchicago.edu/c4c.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are reviewing the movie Nope with Pastor Ted Geese. So, Ted, without spoiling too much, let's get into the general plot. We've talked a lot about some of the details. What's the general plot here?
So it starts, like I was talking about at the very beginning of the film, with this Otis Hayward Sr., played by Keith David, who people might remember from movies like The Thing and They Live and lots of stuff. And he dies, and his son, Otis Hayward Jr., Daniel Kaluuya, is with him. They're both on horseback at their ranch. Stuff falls out of the sky, and one thing hits the father, and he dies. So now the son is trying to run the ranch. He's got his sister. His sister's like charismatic like the father, but not responsible like the father. And the son is responsible like the father, but maybe not as charismatic as the father. The two of them should run the ranch together. They got their own problems. It's a struggle. So you've got that going on. And then he starts to see something in the sky. And this OJ, Daniel Kaluuya's character, sees something in the sky. And he doesn't know what it is, but he thinks it might be an alien, like an alien spacecraft or something. So then they start setting up cameras around the ranch to try to catch this image. And this is where the character of Emerald, the sister, says that they're looking for the Oprah shot, like the shot that's going to get them famous kind of thing. And that's also kind of a connection back to that whole the monkey stuff and Oprah Winfrey and all the rest of it. So there's this sense that they need to catch this thing on camera. And if they could catch it on camera, then they will get famous and have money, and they need money, etc. So then it's all about trying to figure out how to do that, how to entice this monster. It turns out that, okay, this is the big spoiler, is it's not an alien spacecraft, or it doesn't seem to be an alien spacecraft. It is an actual living being that's more like the great white shark in Jaws than it is like the alien spaceship in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. But they're certainly drawing on all that kind of stuff. One of the actors, he gave them these films. He said, watch Close Encounters of the Third Kind, watch Jaws, watch Alien, watch No Country for Old Men, watch 2001 A Space Odyssey. And then after all of that, he gave them the script. So this is the character of Angel, who is this... He did that with the actor who plays the character of Angel. The character of Angel works at a local Fry's electronic place, and he helps set up all the cameras. Then they also end up bringing in this cinematographer, and the cinematographer has to figure out how to catch this perfect shot of this thing that's out there. And that guy is played by Michael Wincott, who people might remember from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, or The Crow. He was in Strange Days. He was in Alien Resurrection. He's in a bunch of movies. He's got a big, deep, gravelly voice. And he ends up using a camera that is hand cranked and not using electricity, because what happens is whenever this monster shows up, all the electrical cuts out. So again, this goes back to that whole, like, the early days of film where that MyBridge guy was using a hand crank film to get his pictures. This is going back to that period of time where that's the way film was captured. And then, of course, the neighboring ranch and all of the rest of the stuff with the character of Jupe. And this thing is horrific because it sucks people up inside of it. And what looks like a giant maybe eye that it's like looking at you with its eye is actually its mouth. So there's this sense in which what you're looking at is a monster that is a big floating eye that consumes people, which again, this gets into this notion of, if you're being consumed by a giant eye, are you being consumed because you're being judged? This goes back to that Nahum chapter 3 passage, because you're dying in a horrific way. And at one point, the thing goes over their farmhouse, the ranch house, and it kind of vomits out all of this blood and like the keys and wristwatches and stuff that they, coins and things that were not digestible, let's say. Like, and that's part of the film. And interestingly, the father at the very beginning of the film, played by Keith David, died because a coin went through his head and killed him. He's killed by money. And there's a sense in which everybody's trying to profit off this monster to try to like get themselves out of the situation that they're in. And the character of Jupe at one point describes the thing as the viewers. You know, you've seen some of these old science fiction movies of the past or old horror films of the past, stuff like Them with the giant mutant ants, or like Godzilla. You've seen these movies, hey?
Yeah.
or movies like Invasion of the Body Snatchers from 1956, or Night of the Living Dead, one of the original, you know, zombie movies. Often in these kinds of movies, and Jordan Peele clearly knows this, that the creature of the creature feature, the monster, is operating on a number of different levels. And one of the levels that it's operating on is that it's getting at some sort of existential crisis or threat or some sort of social anxiety. So like movies like Them with the giant ants and like Godzilla, that's kind of about people's fear of nuclear radiation, which is a new thing. Or you could have like with the Invasion of the Body Snatchers or Night of the Living Dead, that's all kind of about communism or mob mentality. Or a movie even like The Purge has that kind of sense of stuff going on in all of it. So in this case, then, what is that monster? There's a sense in which the movie is kind of about voyeurism, and it's also about like consuming things. And all of the people involved in the film are the central characters. It's a cinematographer. It's, a failed kid actor. It's animal wranglers. It's all people involved in some way in the Hollywood industry, or a guy that sets up surveillance cameras, etc. It's all kind of connected to that. So then who are the viewers? Is that you sitting in the theater watching the movie? The people who consume the product that Hollywood presents to them? Are you worried about your personal privacy and you being like consumed as, you know, like for instance, Facebook? You're not the user of Facebook, you're the product, and they're taking your information and they're selling it, and that's how they're making money. So this is kind of an interesting thing. We live in this world right now, and I would say that a movie like this actually has a lot in common with that movie Elvis that we talked about a couple of weeks ago or last month, because that's all about the dangers of the lure of fame and people who take advantage of individuals. And there's a sense in which that's all kind of in the mix for a movie like this, that the monster is devouring people. And there's a whole part of the movie where it's like, don't look it in the eye. If you don't look it in the eye, it can't get you, because it only eats the things that look at it in the eye. So there's this reciprocal relationship between those being eaten and those who are doing the eating, those who are being consumed and those who are offering themselves up for consumption. So this is where it's a very fascinating movie, and I'm interested to watch it maybe at least one more time, I think, to kind of dig a little deeper into all of it. It's not going to be for everybody. It's an R-rated film, and Canada, it's rated 14A. It's maybe not as violent as you might imagine, but at the same time, it is stressful and distressing. And if you don't like horror films, don't even bother. It's not the worst kind of horror films that you might have run across at different times. It's got lots of suspense, though, and it's a slow burn. So the first hour is a little slow. You're getting to know everybody, but then it kind of takes off like a rocket.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, thank you very much.
Thank you.
After the break, Dr. Brad Wilcox, professor of sociology and director of the National Marriage Project at the University of Virginia, will join us to discuss student academic success and family structure. How do students from stable families and unstable families compare?
Don't forget, every single person is someone for whom Christ died, someone that Christ wants with them in eternity, and they're going to get there by you witnessing Christ's reality to them.
Dr. Joel Bierman speaking at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's how we make a case for a Lutheran worldview. It comes into right confession, but confession is more than just what's going on in your head. It's what you're living out. It's what you're practicing. It's what you're doing. You're practicing the reality of Christ, and it shows in everything that you do, all that you do, all the time. And so, this is the way that we live our Christian lives, in faith toward God, in love toward neighbor. Luther said it well. It is the heart of our Lutheran confession.
You can watch and listen to a recording of Dr. Bierman's presentation, Making the Case for a Lutheran Worldview, from this year's Making the Case Conference. For a tax-deductible donation of $300, you can download an audio and video recording. For more information, visit issuesetc.org.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In the book of Acts, St. Paul tells the story of his conversion three different times, and each time slightly differently. Does this mean that there are contradictions in the book of Acts? That there are contradictions in the scriptures? By no means. But if you've ever wondered this or other questions like it, you should pick up a copy of the August issue of the Lutheran Witness, Breathed Out by God, in which we talk about how to understand these seeming contradictions of scripture. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness or our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.